You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 257 of Horsemanship Radio, brought to you by Hands On Gloves, the all-in-one revolutionary bathing, grooming, shedding gloves. Horsemanship Radio is a part of the family of the Horse Radio Network. And today we have a special person who's part of the Gentling Wild Horse course, and you'll learn why she's special. This is Debbie Laux, and you're listening to Horsemanship Radio. Thanks for joining us. Horsemanship Radio airs on the 1st and the 15th of the month. And of course, I could not do it without my producer, Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hello, Debbie. How's everything in California?
Oh, my gosh. It's the adrenaline is rising a little bit. Excitement is building, because next week is the Movement, our 7th annual, but everything is great. It's really coming together. I'm so excited. And I thought I would even take a portion of this episode today to describe a little bit about what we're anticipating, which is really fun. But I really wanted to share with you today, Sumi, because Sumi, is our first guest, and she's brilliant. She's really sharp, and she discovered wild horses. She's been with horses her whole life, but it went to another level when she started to research the wild horses. And I love what she said about them. So we're going to hear that today.
Cool. It's going to be another really fascinating show. Also, I'm excited to hear about what's going to be happening in the Movement coming up. And what you said, this is the seventh.
Can you believe
no
it? Lucky seven. Yeah,
7 years ago.
I know. You know, we record all of them too, and this is a point for people who say, like, dang, you know, I just heard about it for the first time. I didn't have an opportunity to see seven of them. We record every minute of them, and we put it up on a Vimeo link on our montyroberts.com website. So it's pretty cool that people can go back. And then also, if somebody is listening from Kazakhstan right now and can't make it to the Movement by next week, then you'll have an opportunity to go back and see those recorded. And really, the information is evergreen, isn't it? All this beautiful work with horses is evergreen, because horses don't change much, and their reactions and everything are quantified by these beautiful trainers that we have, who we'll talk about a little bit in the second half of the episode.
And every ticket holder that attends the Movement also has access to that. That's part of their ticket price, right?
Correct. So they can go back and watch.
Mm-hmm. Which is nice, because whether you attend or not, being able to go back and watch the video of it is, I think, a real treat. And at a whopping $10, you really can't beat the price tag. They're all on there. So you can go back and watch 1 through 6 too, which would be kind of fun. Without much further ado, we are going to get to our first guest. But first, we're going to hear from our title sponsor, Hands On Gloves.
Hi, I'm Monty Roberts. And am I excited to bring you the news of a revolutionary, new, all-in-one shedding, bathing, grooming tool, Hands On Gloves. They are fantastic. And you believe me, I've tried them all. Hands-On outperforms traditional curry combs, shedding blades, metal bristles, and all those things. Most animals will gravitate to you for more grooming and petting time. If you wear them, your animals will love you more for it. While using the Hands-On gloves, you can easily handle water hoses, shampoo bottles, lead ropes, leashes, and anything you want with them on your hands. They are easy to clean, and they massage muscles and stimulate circulation while helping to distribute natural oils for a healthy skin and coat. Hands-On is changing the way we bathe, de-shed, and groom our animals forever. Hands-On gloves. They are fantastic.
Sumi Chang was not schooled in natural horsemanship, but she is now working toward adopting 2 or 3 wild horses from holding pens this year. Sumi received a degree in English literature from Columbia University in New York in 1995, and she is a director of marketing for Walt Disney Studios in Los Angeles.
Well, welcome, Su Mi Chang. I'm so happy to have you here, but you are very American, even though that's an exotic name.
Yes, that's. I was given that name when I was born in Royal Oaks, Michigan, many years ago. And
many years ago.
quite a few. I've run out of fingers and toes, few times over.
That's true.
Grew up in the Midwest, so... Yes, very much a middle America kind of girl.
Is that where you got into horses, or were you always into horses?
Well, I was in Missouri. We bounced around a little bit from Michigan to New York and a short spell in West Virginia, but really settled in Missouri, in central Missouri, in a town called Columbia, Missouri, which is where the University of Missouri is. Great, great town. And, you know, I think I was pretty much born with it. And I think most horse people will say I was born with it.
The DNA.
The DNA. Yeah. It didn't kind of just pop one day. It's always been there, whether it was kind of latent or, you know, there from when you were two and you wanted, you just gravitated towards horses. And certainly I was that person, just gravitated towards horses.
And did your parents encourage it?
They did not.
Happens a lot. It's not understandable to some parents.
It seems like that seems very expensive and random.
Yeah.
How about piano?
Right.
Cello.
Right.
I did those things. Even gymnastics and ballet was okay, but horseback riding. I did press, I think, hard enough at some point, but then as it turns out, I was deathly allergic. As soon as I got into a barn and was next to a horse, my whole face blew up and I was willing to power through it. I didn't care. That put a hard stop on things at that point. And so I just kind of loved them from afar. Mm-hmm. But I would say the passion never went away. Just I didn't have the proximity. But later on in life, I decided I was just going to, I was living in Los Angeles. I went to the equestrian center, the LA Equestrian Center in Burbank. And I said, I just want to be here. And I'll take some Claritin or Zyrtec. Yeah. I'll take it all, whatever it takes. And I went in there and yes, I kind of blew up. And I talked to some trainers and I said, I'm ready. Yeah. I don't want to wait another day.
I'm powering through it this
time. I'm powering through it. And you know what? After 2 weeks of intense barn time, I was fine. It was gone.
I was going to say, lifelong
allergy.
Nothing
at all. I mean, I breathe it in and I actually feel better. A little horse dust in my nose.
I'm telling you, there is something to this because people have said, you know, when they've been stuck in a hospital or someplace where they didn't want to be inside an office all the time, they said, just take me to the barn. I promise I will just thrive, you know, and it's true.
It's true. It's something medicine.
About, yeah. Husbands don't understand this all the time.
Not all the time.
Yeah. So we've been 3 days now in the Gentling Wild Horse Course. What brought you? Tell me the story.
Well, outside of being lifelong, you know, equine enthusiast.
The Gentling Wild Horses.
You know. Yeah. Well, in the last few years, I've really come to appreciate America's wild horses and the incredible Mustang. And it's become such a cause for me to support them and to understand them and to help others understand them. It felt like this was a necessary step for me to take.
Why? What made it suddenly critical?
You know what? It was, amazingly, after, you know, having spent so much time around horses and riding and owning and loving and, you know, big community, there was so little awareness of what was actually happening. And it just, during COVID, as we were all just binging on everything we could get our hands on and watched a lot of horse content. And this beautiful film by made by Ashley Avis, who's an award-winning filmmaker, did Black Beauty for Disney and really drawing on her own horse experience, created the film Wild Beauty.
It is beautiful.
Which changed my life.
Did it? It changed hers as well.
Yes, I think so. The Wild Beauty Foundation is really... taken on a lot of support and a lot of activity and engaged the public in a big way. It's amazing.
So did you set out to be an advocate, or did you set out to do more?
I set out to figure out where I could be useful, because there are a lot of voices out there. Not enough, but there are voices out there. And I found that where I thought the horses needed me was to pull them out of holding. So, of course, the first is to keep them on the range, keep them healthy, keep them safe, and keep them at their numbers and not reduce those numbers.
What are those numbers right now?
Well, right now the numbers are about 80,000. I think most groups will agree that there hasn't been a truly trusted scientific way of doing the count. It's a little hard to count wild horses that are all hiding up in the hills. There are some great ways to do it, but I don't think that there's really an agreed upon way where everyone says this is the number. But
and how many are in the holding?
Over 60,000.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, this is our cause right here, right?
We are talking about, 80 acres of land holding 1,000 horses.
Yeah.
But in the wild, maybe one horse can be on 1,000 acres.
Yeah.
So these horses desperately need a new life.
So you want to adopt some?
I'm going to adopt some. I'm going to adopt some. I'm trying to go through all the steps that it's going to take because my goal is to make it more accessible, more understandable, and really be able to empower people to even consider the notion of owning a Mustang. I mean, I will be the first to say it's not for everyone. It's not for a dead beginner to say, I think I'll adopt a Mustang and train it myself and go riding.
Happens.
It does happen. I don't discourage it. But safety is always my number one concern when it comes to horses and, understanding the Mustang, understanding how it's different from a domesticated horse and going about it the very best way possible, from day one, I think is so critical. So that's really the piece that I'm focusing on is bridging that gap between, awareness and falling in love and understanding the history and the story of the Mustang and what makes them so special. And then getting to a state where they can be led, they're ready for, their green broke and they're ready to kind of move forward with a more traditional trainer. I don't mean traditional training, like conventional methods, but I mean, with a larger set of trainers who would then be better equipped to just, train up a green brook horse as opposed to one that had been untouched.
You're going to help me. I think you have a little marketing background, right?
A little bit. I've been, with, the Walt Disney Company, in Disney Entertainment for the last 24 years.
24 years.
It has been my entire life. It is an amazing corporation. It's an amazing group of people. And I'm taking a lot of what I've learned there and I'm hoping to bring it to the horse world.
You're going
to
help me create a new term from green broke. Because that's one of the things we learn here is that break a horse.
Yes, I need to break my habit of using the word broke.
I mean, honestly, it is the pervasive term. And actually, Dad, I think I can almost quote Dad to say, right here, he would say, and it's the appropriate word if you think about the traditional breaking method. So, of course, halter broke, let's add to it. Broke to load, broke to trailer, all those breaking words, right? It's the same, even translated the world over. Can you believe it?
I can, knowing what I know now about how horses have been trained and started. It's very appropriate.
The fact that you said started warms my heart. Thank you. So you're 3 days now into the Gentling Wild Horse course here. It's a 5-day course. Tell us a little bit about the horses.
Well, it's daunting. I have not, I've seen horses in holding. I've seen Mustangs in holding. These are wild horses. These are untouched. I think they got loaded onto a trailer, not handled, and then they just opened the gate and let them run in. So, truly untouched. They're beautiful horses. They're quite large. I was expecting a little bit smaller. They're quite large. But they are, you know, the most remarkable thing about them is even though they all look a little bit similar, I think they're all from the same herd potentially. Mm-hmm. They are so different. I mean, some of them are just night and day. They look like twins, but they are night and day. From really willing and docile from the beginning, to a little bit resistant and a little bit more, independent, I would say. Like, okay. I'm not quite ready to work with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite ready to trust you. Mm-hmm. But what they all have in common is this, I don't want you to hurt me face mm-hmm. when you see them, and they pull away and they don't want, you know, they're wary, but they're saying, I don't want to be hurt. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be hurt by you.
Yeah. That's a great statement because these are horses that haven't been hurt
right.
by anybody.
It's instinct.
It yes. is instinct. Survival overrides everything for them, which drives them. So do you believe that you've, I mean, what surprised you so far?
Gosh, so many things. I don't know where to start. With the horse, I would say I was really surprised by how quickly some of them were willing to trust when there was no harm and there was slow movement and there was regulated energy. Mm. They could calm down that kind of fear in their eyes as they held their heads away from you kind of softened and they were okay being close and they realized that it was all right and they were accepting of that. And it could happen very quickly. Like it's day three. Right. I led a wild horse on a lead in a round pen.
How did you do that? So you got the halter on in a chute. Is yes. the chute a scary place for them?
The hilarious thing is that within the first, you know, couple of 10 minutes, 20 yeah. minutes, maybe less, the chute became their favorite place. And as soon as any exercise in that round pen was done, they would really just kind of look at the chute and say, can you open that gate for me? I'm ready to go back in. It's a very calming place for them. It's comfortable. They can't get hurt. The people can't get hurt. It's great.
But balance. You provided that drop in adrenaline by breathing. I watched your exercises. What did you think about that magic?
So this is new magic for me, by the way. I know it's ancient magic for the world, but for me, this was the first time I had really practiced that kind of it's the art of breathing as a way to regulate. Mm-hmm. And there's such an immediate, you know, they say horses are mirrors and I hear that and I kind of intellectually understand that, but to experience the horse as your mirror is a whole nother level.
It's cool.
It is cool. And the breathing, definitely having that deep diaphragmatic breath, and the exhaling and letting that horse know that I'm calm and you can be calm.
So fun to watch you guys too. And there's applications to the human world as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the mindfulness practices really and meditative practices are about breathing.
Mm-hmm. How did you first hear about Monty or this course?
Well, Monty, the name I've known for decades. I think it's been decades. It feels like a very long time. The man who listens to horses. And perhaps it was when the book The Horse Whisperer came out and it had been, his name was associated with that book because he was known as the horse whisperer, the original horse whisperer. But I've kind of come to learn that horse whisperer in that book and the horse whisperer, Monty Roberts, are actually not the same thing. Mm-hmm. And the practices are not the same thing. So that was interesting. But I have known about Monty Roberts for a long time, but I'm learning so much this week about what true nonviolent and the language of equus type of training and connection is. It's not what I thought. It's different. It's a whole nother level. And I realized that it's something that you have to study, you have to learn, you have to experience, and you have to absorb. You can't just assume that it falls into you know, any kind of general natural horsemanship bucket.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You mentioned that you had not been trained in natural horsemanship going into this course, of course. That was before. So what did you see in your mind when you thought about natural horsemanship before you got into this class?
I'm not going to name any names because I've followed a lot. You know, a million videos, podcasts, and there's, you know, so many training videos right now. And it was just a sense of not just, it was a teaching and sort of being a leader of the horse without beating up on a horse. Okay. Mostly natural horsemanship I associate with generally nonviolent, but mm-hmm. there is a, I am your leader. I'm going to tell you what to do, mm-hmm. and I'm going to make it easy for you to listen to me.
Mm-hmm. That's a great little definition. I think I'm as confused as ever.
I've never tried to define it before, so that was...
Well, everybody... I think everybody has a different...
Exactly.
...leaning on that, too. And some people think it is, you know, turning the horse loose, you know, and just observing them. Mm. That's one extreme. I think the other extreme is going through a regimented set of circumstances that are... everything but violent, I hope, you know, but sometimes I think there's some force in there too, which is not a cooperative partnership. And so,
yeah,
I mean, it's not natural what we do, right? I mean, we're a carnivore.
The whole thing.
You're a flight animal. The whole thing is sort of a misnomer for me anyway, but I was curious about what you thought about that. So now what would you call what you did this week? You don't have to put a term on it or anything, but how would you define the difference this week?
I think that there is a lot more, feel to it. I think, and not just intuition, but, you know, I've been thinking about what I need to do differently at home when I'm back with my horse and, listening with my eyes and just being much more observant. I was thinking about how, you know, horses are very, very sensitive and very perceptive, and humans are that way too with one another when they're reading facial expressions. And even just the smallest furrow of a brow can send, you know, whoever you're talking to kind of skittering away in the other direction mentally, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're probably doing all kinds of crazy faces at horses all the time, confusing them.
Yeah.
So just thinking about slowing down and really paying attention to them, paying attention to yourself even more than you're paying attention to them sometimes, because we do things so quickly. We have goals and we want to, even with the gentling, it was trying to get that first touch. Mm-hmm. We, in our minds, were thinking, I want to touch it. Mm-hmm. These fingertips are going to touch that wither, as opposed to starting what we learned in the sessions about really starting with an internal intention of, and literally internal, like in your breath and in your gut, and having that slowly move through your body. And the fingertip at the wither, or just the back of your fingers at the wither, just becomes sort of the end result of mm-hmm. that, not your original
Very
intention.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, great observation. I think so too. And they're reading us from the moment they're in that pen.
Right.
They don't miss anything. And I think that's surprising to people. Their movements, the snap of the eyes
mm-hmm.
can make such a difference with the horses. So it's fun to watch from the outside. And Monty, Dad, has been on the wall watching some of your instruction. And he says he learns a different thing every day just watching you guys. You heard him say that last night?
I did.
Yeah. So I think powers of observation is a superpower of his.
It is.
But
mm-hmm.
you just nailed it on the definition too. So you got to see a little bit of the documentary, which is not out yet, but you got to see
Exciting.
Some of it.
Thank you for that exclusive screening.
Yeah, that was really fun. If you had to categorize Monty in the equestrian industry, what do you think, how do you slot him?
he can't be slotted. I think literally I've never slotted Monty. I mean, maybe I had associated him most closely with the natural horsemanship mm-hmm. movement. But, you know, and I will say before I got here, I always sensed that he was different in a way, but I didn't know how, and I mm-hmm. certainly wouldn't have been able to articulate it in any way. Yeah. There was something about how he was doing things that other trainers that I've seen under natural horsemanship, like aggressively whipping around a horse around a round pen mm-hmm. to establish leadership, mm-hmm. Not whipping in a, you know, a truly painful way, but a bit of a terrorizing
scary.
Way.
Yeah, terrorizing.
Or, you know, hooking a hoof and holding on to that, making him three-legged for a while, things, dominating things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, figuring out those differences in this session has helped me understand why I've always set Monty kind of apart, even though I hadn't been in one of his clinics before.
Mm. I can't wait to see what you're going to do with all your skills that you you learned in here, but mostly your mind. You know, I'd love to follow your mind. What do you do with your time, your volunteer time, your work time now with the horse industry? I know you want to adopt, but do you have any passion projects?
I do. I have, it's very Mustang focused right now. And we are part of an up-and-coming nonprofit that's really built around, again, empowering the broader horse community to embrace the Mustang, to understand its history, its personality, and empower them to consider owning one and mm-hmm. giving them the tools to do that.
That's the important part, isn't
the
it?
The tools. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The tools are key. But I also do, as that's in the works for getting launched, I'm also volunteering for a fantastic nonprofit called the Cloud Foundation. Many folks may have heard of it. Ginger Catherines is the executive director of that, and she is a filmmaker, documentarian, and she did a series for PBS, the nature series, called Cloud, the Wild Stallion of the Rockies, and really was the only film to document a wild animal from birth continuously all the way to its death. And Cloud was he's no longer alive now. He was born in 1995 in the Pryor Mountains, and she followed his life and the life of the wild horse all the way to his death in 2016 when he died, but he died wild and free. Yeah. And so the organization really supports building awareness around the shortcomings of some of the management policies around our wild horses mm-hmm. because it can lead to extinction of yeah. them the way it's going. It mm-hmm. can.
I'm concerned about that too,
yeah.
Sumi. Yeah, and there are some people doing it really right. And there's just, I hope that we can focus on them. So I'd love to hear more about the Cloud Foundation and see how they're doing that, because we have some sort of thoughts about DNA and how do you keep those bands.
Yes, just the viability of maintaining herds and mm-hmm. their genetic viability, and there are all kinds of historic breeds that really need to be preserved. Mm-hmm. And they all do, but there are various reasons to really focus on the specific areas, mm-hmm. Different herd management areas mm-hmm. and different herds. And we should absolutely have a future podcast where we really talk about all the work and the research. It's every advocacy group is a little bit different. The ones that I like to focus on are the ones that really have done their research, are based in the scientific community, and are using verified, vetted, peer-reviewed data sets that speak for why they make the statements that they do and ask for the things that they do.
Good. So last thing. Your impression of Shy Boy, who's still with us here. You got to see him in the documentary last night. He's still here with us. He's over 30 now, which is being that he was captured in the wild. A lot of compromised immune system, right? We've got internal parasites, all those things that happen between age 0 and 3 to the wild, but was then captured by the BLM and then adopted by Monty. But you get to see him in all his glory. What do you think?
He looks like he's a bit of a firecracker still.
He is.
He has got a sparkle in that his 31-year-old eye.
That's true.
I am thrilled to have the opportunity to meet him. I walked over to his pasture, and he just walked right up, and he stuck his nose out and gave us a bit of a nuzzle. And I am excited to read his autobiography as interpreted by Monty, which I just purchased today. I haven't seen it before, and I just did, so I'm looking forward to reading
it. It's
that.
Very good. Yes, it's very shy. It's very good. Well, thank you, Sumi Chang, for being with us on Horsemanship Radio. And I can't wait to have you back, hear a little bit more about Cloud and what your life is going to head in the direction of with Mustangs.
Thank you so much. And thank you for sponsoring these clinics. And I'm so glad to hear that there are going to be more of them offered each year. There are people from all over the world here, which is incredibly impressive. And I'm so impressed by the commitment by the horse community to really understand the horse better.
A couple of years ago, I don't know how long ago it was now, but we had you on a number of our shows talking about the Equus Online University, which had just come out.
It has developed. It's become better with a search engine in it, and it's become better with the forum because we have such an amazing, you know, a lot of those forums, people get on there and go, oh, no, you're not. Yes, you are. No, you're not.
Yeah, usually it ends up with the whiners on forums.
Exactly. Right. And it's not. What I see is a mentoring. Actually, it's almost the polar opposite. Because we do give these rosettes out for people who've completed so many lessons. And once the rosettes started, now we have, we're up to 5 rosettes for somebody who's watched every lesson. And you have those rosettes by your forum personality in your profile. And so you can really see who's watched all these things. So it gives them credibility when they come in and say, hey, have you watched this lesson? So people come on there and they're using it as a training tool, frankly, you know, and they get on there. And I'm not bragging on the university as the greatest training tool, which I think it is, but it's also a great place for people to be mentored as they begin their journey with horses. It really is cool. So when they watch the lessons, and they can watch them over and over again as many times as they want, they get the lesson notes, they get audio, they get visual, and then they've got the forum to kick around too. Plus, we've got now, since 2004, every week, without fail, we put up a Q&A from Monty himself. He chose the question, he answered it, and we put it in a database. And that's actually free for everybody to search and get to. It's open on our Equus Online University. In other words, it's a non-subscriber open source forum too. Not forum, but a Q&A base. The forum is not. You're behind a subscriber wall for the forum, just so we know who's talking. But it's been an incredible experience, actually, to put these together with Stefan Peters and Will Simpson. You know who I'm talking about. These guys have won everything in their worlds. And Charlotte Bradals, and if I get started, Richard Winters, and so many guest lecturers that are on there, too. So some people ask, why is it called university? Well, that's what a university is. It's not just one opinion. It's not just one deliverer. You know, and I think that's the difference between everybody is putting out a YouTube these days, and they're free. So people ask us sometimes, why do you charge like up to $10 a month? And well, it's expensive to make the university. Everybody knows quality is not cheap, but it's really our mission statement. And I know that sounds a bit trite, but it's true. When you've worked at it for 5 years, just to get all that quantified and on there, there are just almost no subjects we haven't covered at this point. But Dad and I were looking at the list, and he goes, hey, I'm going to be making videos until well into my 90s. And I went, yes, so promise and sign here. So we do have a lot of subjects left to go, and a lot of people we want to still get on there. What do you think of it, Glenn?
Well, I think that one of the things about training horses, same as training anything, really, is that you're going through stages, and you're always coming up to a new
problem to solve or a new issue to deal with. And what I like about the university now that you have so much content on there is that whatever issue you're running into, there's going to be something on there to help you. So not many people are going to go on there and watch all, you know, all the videos because there's just so many of them. What you're going to want to do is go on there and you're going to want to watch the videos that relate to the situation you're in currently with that particular horse. And that's what I like about it is it has so much content now that whatever you're dealing with, you're probably going to find an answer somewhere, somehow. And if not, you can go to the forum.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, that's what I really like about it is wherever you're at now is where you can find that situation. Plus, you know, YouTube is so full of crap now. And I'm not saying that every video on there is crap, but there are, we all know what we're talking about. Yeah. There are some that are. And, you know, one of the things that I really like about this is, you know, you can trust it. You know that what you're seeing is something you can trust. I've tried doing repairs on appliances and things off of YouTube videos. and you know, some of them are good, some are not so good. And one of the things, I couldn't get back together again. So,
at least you didn't hurt yourself. That's
right.
Good.
So that's what I really like about it. And for that, yes, it costs a few pennies to do it, but it's worth it.
Nice.
You know, it's worth it to do it right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And it is tried and true. Everything on there is so tried and true. If not, you know, they'd be throwing tomatoes at us in the forum. But it really does work. And we are so happy that so many people have been interested enough at least to go there, you know. And I should plug in the website right now is www.montyrobertsuniversity.com because people can get a free day pass on there and go see what we're talking about and check out that search engine too. You can put in the weird little keywords and you find all kinds of crazy stuff. It really is cool. And it breaks it down by not just the lessons first, then it goes into the Q&A database, and then it goes into the forum. So you can actually pick and choose where you pick up those keywords from too. So it's great. And then you also have little challenge questions, which I love, the little tests at the end. You know, there's always four questions at the end of your lesson to make sure that, you know, you were watching. And if you get it wrong, it just says, want to try again? And so you, by process of elimination, you get it right. And then it moves you on. And that's how you get your rosettes, that you've accomplished that that lesson and that you get to move on. But I, you know, what you just said is so important, because when we were setting this idea up, nothing really existed like it. We didn't want it to be, first you have to do one, and then you have to do number two, and then you have to do number three, and like it was some sort of programmed process.
Yeah, because that never works.
It doesn't. It, no. You know, because we wanted people who were amazing trainers to jump in there and go, this is what I, you know, what does Monty say about this, or what does this trainer say about that? And they could be at a world-class level, or it could be a very beginner saying, where do I start first? And you can just go down the lessons if you want, but, you know, it's like you said, if all of a sudden you have a horse that won't load, and you didn't have one last week that didn't load, you know, you go to the loading lessons,
right,
and it's
exactly.
A whole series on it.
And it's MontyRobertsUniversity.com?
That's it. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
When this podcast goes out to the universe, it will be just a week before the movement comes out. So we wanted to give everybody a thorough overview of what's going to be happening. So, and it's a lot. So we saved a little bit of time for that. So what are the dates in 2024?
Thanks for asking, Jennifer. Our dates are June 21, 22, 23. And as you said, it's our 7th annual. I'm very excited about that. When my friend Nellie Kennedy and I sat down over our first sort of, what do you want to do with the future, rubbing our hands together. And this is before COVID too. So we didn't really know what the world was going to do. But we said that we didn't want to keep all these beautiful concepts and these beautiful people that are producing beautiful concepts out there to ourselves. So many people beat a path to Monty Roberts's door, whether it be at the farm or whether it be on tour, that we created a bit of an environment for ourselves in a lot of media, but it would be in film, it would be in books, and it would be online. But we didn't have a place, a real home for all these beautiful things to be demonstrated. And we went, wait a minute, the farm.
Ding, 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 ding. Flag is up, farms. Yeah.
So let me give you a little overview of what we have planned for this year's movement. Jamie Jennings from Horses in the Morning, and she has been to every one of the movement's events. And so we're not going to make any exceptions this year, but I thought, you know what? The one person that is so much fun to work with Jamie is Joanna Lowes from Wales. So we've invited Joanna Lowes, who was Dad's rider on tour for 5 years and helped him get all over Europe and South Africa and Australia and parts unknown. And so she's so talented. So we get Jamie and Joanna Lowes and Monty together. It is the most amazing work. And that's going to be, you know, our centerpiece of horse training for sure. Well, we're bringing in Katarina Kofod. Are we fitting our horses with their bridles and their saddles correctly? So she's going to teach us a little bit more about the anatomical reasons why equipment is so critical, especially on the nerve endings in the horse's head. And then we're going to have Netta DeMeo, and she's done amazing jobs keeping these original Mustang bands DNA straight using some birth control so that the weaker ones are not propagating, filling holding pins somewhere, but also, you know, letting nature choose the strongest and those that are the most representative of that breed and that band. Fascinating woman. So she's going to be presenting here too. Let's throw some fun in there. We've got Jared Rogerson. He's a singer and a hit songwriter. Had him last year and we decided we got to have him back too. So we made him promise before he left last year
that he would let him leave, were you?
No. We trapped him, I think, in an apartment here, didn't we? And he is acquiesced, and he is coming back too. So the one fun thing about Friday, when you get here on Friday, if you're one of the people able to participate, or if you see this on Vimeo afterwards, or if you're still trying to make the decision and you hear this, come, because the one thing that's fun is we're going to start it at 1 p.m. But before that, we're going to have an early opening because we're the West Coast premiere of the exhibit, the photographic exhibit of Robert Dutesco's The Wild Horses of Sable Island. He's never been on this coast. He has collectors on this coast, but it's the most breathtaking. He has them up on contacts and it's aluminum, I think, that they're on. They just glow. And it's in, you know, of course, then it's like a black and white grays image of these huge oversized photos.
They're just about life size.
Yeah.
The horses in the pictures are just about life size. Yeah,
exactly. And the horses are not that large, so you can do that. But, you know, they're not draft horses. They're little, you know, those little barbs. But they're amazing. Such a blend of probably Icelandic horses and certainly the Portugal and Spain contributions from the shipwrecks that happened off this little spit of sand that is off Nova Scotia, off the east coast of Canada. Not that far, Jen, from where the Titanic went down. So that tells you a little bit about the harshness of the environment. Yeah. So he's going to be presenting before we start at 1 o'clock on Friday. We'll have a soft opening because he's going to be there. We're going to have a little acoustical guitar underneath, just setting the mood. And then we break it out with Monty in the round pen right there next to the barn. And then we're going to get started with our wild horses over at the gentling pen. And we're going to see the progression over 3 days of how far we can get horses to go from wild to willing, right? That's going to be a lot of fun. And then Saturday is our big day. I mean, 9 to 4, we're going to be working with horses. We're going to hear from Netta. We're going to hear from Katarina. We're going to pull in Miguel Lupiano from Brazil and Manjeev from India. They'll all be hands-on and helping teach and support Monty and our trainers. And then at 4 p.m., we're going to play a trailer from Sable Island Wild Horses documentary and a Q&A with Monty and Roberto. That'll be fun. And then we're going to have, yay, the screening documentary that has been winning awards across the United States now at these festivals. The Cowboy and the Queen. That'd be the Queen of England and Monty. In 1989, both with the love of horses and both knew there was a better way, but hadn't said anything really. The Queen kind of suppressed that knowledge as well. She had some people don't know this, but she had a trainer for herself when she was just but a little girl, a wee little girl. And the trainer was the one who kept pushing for gentleness with her horses. And that was non-traditional. And, you know, he basically, I don't want to say fired, it's too strong a word, but he was asked not to come back. And the queen was always very disappointed in that. And she, you know, kind of felt bad about that, as you would as a young girl. When she saw this, she told Dad, you know, Noel was right. And his name was Noel. And it's in the documentary when she does a little fist pump, when he puts the first rider up on this horse in about 15, 20 minutes. And you'll see that in the documentary. So these festivals have put the cowboy and the queen kind of toward the end of them, because some of those festivals, documentaries can be dark these days. You know, we've got stories of the Ukraine, stories of global warming. We've got all these really crazy,
pretty dark subject,
right? Yeah. And that's what documentaries often chronicle, right? Are some dark subjects, but they're loving this because it's real. It's an authentic story, really happened. All, you know, they fact check in these things. So it's so fun that we get to share this with those people who are coming to see hope, and also hope for animals too. So it's about two influential people who got together who said, okay, that's enough. We don't need violence in the training of horses. In fact, it's more efficient and much more kind to partner with your horse. And they actually are pretty generous to say, yeah, okay, if you'll treat me well, I'll be okay with you too. And so you're not only going to see demonstrations of that and what that looks like, but you're also going to get to see a really world-class documentary about that, affirming everything. And there's going to be people in the audience, I'm sure, who go like, I knew it. I knew that my gut reaction when my trainer told me to hit the horse a little bit, you know, you got to just at some point show them who's boss a little bit, you know. And that's what we all grew up with a little bit. I guess I might be an exception to that.
I was going to say, you didn't.
I didn't do that. But, you know, almost everybody has that experience as a lesson taker, or, you know, working with any trainers as a kid. You don't stand up to people who told you, you know, that's kind of what you had to do, because who taught them? Generations and generations. So we can't, we'll cut them a lot of slack too. Anyway, that's Saturday night, and that'd be late afternoon and screening that. And a Q&A, of course, because you want to hear from the guy who's in the movie. And then Sunday we'll start again. We'll see the progression of those horses at 9 a.m. And we'll wrap up with the training sessions. And also one more little advocacy piece by Roberto de Tesco about I Am Wild, which is a foundation he has started, and it combines art, beauty, and horses. And he's going to take this into the future. That's what we want to leave people with, Jen, is that there's something to do. It's something we can do to help when we leave. And there's a lot of opportunities, and you'll hear lots of opportunities of things to do, to volunteer, to contribute. It builds critical mass. And that's what we set out to do, Nellie Kennedy and I. And we hope that we're making a little bit of difference.
There we go. So be prepared to be educated and inspired in equal parts.
Thank you.
There we go. So that is the movement. It is the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of the year 2024. In case you're listening to this in the future, greetings, future listener.
Yeah.
And if you want to check into grabbing some last moment tickets, just go to montyroberts.com. And where do you go from there?
Yeah, you go on the shop, and it's special events.
Shop, special events, or you can call Flag Is Up Farms at 805-688-6288. If you couldn't remember that while you're driving your car down the road or cleaning a stall, go to montyroberts.com, and the phone number's there too.
Correct. Perfect.
There we go.
Whisper the language of the herd. Listen, you don't have to say a word.
It's time for Jamie Jennings to fetch an email from Monty Roberts' inbox and share a morsel of Monty's wisdom in a little segment we like to call Ask Monty.
Leave this world a better place than mine. The magic in the language of the herd.
Dear Monty, I am currently doing Pirelli Natural Horsemanship. I am a level 1 partnership student going on to level 2 Harmony. Is it okay to use more than one training method on a horse, like a mixture of join up with follow up and Pirelli? Or should I stick with just one? Or should I do one training method on one horse and another on a different one? Monty's answer. It is wonderful to hear that you're learning about different methods to communicate with your horse and enhance your partnership. In my opinion, you should continue to research all the available methods of horsemanship in order to make an informed decision on the most appropriate method for you and your horse. However, it is my recommendation that, in experimenting with different methods, you need to take great care to not confuse the horse. There are many entry-level horse people in the world today. A high percentage of them are putting a lot of effort into becoming educated in working with horses. However, some of them are going about it as if the educational material available were like a fruit salad, picking out, say, the pineapple, the apricots, and cherries, passing over the nectarines and the pears. When this method is applied to a single horse, it is confusing. My suggestion is work with different horses and use only one method on each horse. Then observe their learning and come to a conclusion yourself as to the method with which you prefer to work. I believe that if you take this approach, you will be more effective as a trainer and have much happier horses as well. I hope this helps and keep up the good work.
For more of these insights into good horsemanship, go to MontyRoberts.com and click on the words Ask Monty at the bottom of the page.
Where in the world is Monty Roberts?
Monty is looking forward to meeting some new friends, two-legged and four-legged. And where? At the Movement. We just talked about it. June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of this year, the 2024. And then in July, we have a Monty special training, July 8th through 12th. August 5 through 20, we have an introductory course of horsemanship. That's in Solvang, California, right here. Come have some fun in August. And then 5 through 7, we break it up into modules if you want to do it that way. August 5 through 7 is the first module. That's Monty's Methods. August 8, 9, 12, skips a day, is the module 2. That's Join Up. 13 through 15th. Is the module 3, and that's long lining. And then, of course, if you're getting ready for the exams, I hope you are, it's 16, 19, and 20 is module 4, and that's preparation for the intro exams because you're on your way at that point. And then August 25th, we're going to slip in a horsemanship 101. Those fill up fast. So if you're coming out, if you're anywhere near Central California for a one-day event, it's really fun. Long-term planners, September 9 through 13 is another Gentling Wild Horse course. We have so many wild horses out here, you guys. It's so much fun.
And you can find all of that and more at MontyRoberts.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things Monty Roberts Horsemanship Radio Podcast. It's all there. You can also call them, as I said earlier, at 805-688-6288. And for details about today's show, if you don't go to MontyRoberts.com, you can go to HorsemanshipRadio.com.
Sure.
And each and every episode has a page, and it has links to today's guests and topics. And we love your feedback. Follow us on social media. On Facebook, it's Monty Roberts, the one with the little blue check mark. And for Twitter as well as Instagram, all of them, it's Monty_Roberts. Just put Monty_Roberts in there.
That's right. That's right. And many thanks to our sponsors, too. Thank you, Jay Michelson at handsongloves.com. And, of course, MontyRobertsUniversity.com is our reason for being, too. And be sure to visit all the other great shows, too, on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Until next time, have many happy horse hours.